May be seated. Well, I'm Steve Thompson. It's a privilege to preach today. The elders asked me to do that. And the title of the message today is Walking in Truth and Love. And right out of the gate, I want to be honest and truthful about something, that I don't do that very well, that walking in truth and love. But here's what Scripture says, that by God's grace and mercy, even though I fail and stumble through that as I go through my life, by His grace and mercy, that through Christ, He still loves me, and I'm accepted in the Beloved today. And in the 1830s, there was a young store clerk in a small town in Illinois, who was well known for his truthfulness and his honesty. Whenever he realized he shortchanged a customer, he would close the store, walk as far as needed, and personally deliver the correct change. I believe we could say that his actions exemplified walking in truth and love. By the way, this man became the 16th president of the United States. His name, Abraham Lincoln. Near the end of the first century, probably between 85 and 95 AD, the Apostle John wrote specifically to a man in a church in Asia Minor, which is the present-day country of Turkey. This man's name was Gaius, pronounced either Gaius or Gaius. John commended him for walking in truth and love. By the way, the name Gaius means happy or one who rejoices. John also specifically named two other men in the church. One man, Diotrephes, was arrogant, inhospitable, and stirred up discord. The other man, Demetrius, was stirring up good, and much like Gaius, was also a testimony to walking in truth and love. So here's the main points of this message today, that walking in truth and love does the following. It brings about joy, spreads the gospel, and reveals good and evil. And the outline for this book of 3 John in the Bible goes like this. Verses 1 through 4, there's the greeting to Gaius. Then verses 5 through 8 shows Gaius' love for spreading the gospel. And then in verse 9 and 10, we see this Diotrephes doing evil. Then in verse 11 and 12, Demetrius doing good. And the final remarks by John are in verses 13 through 15. Something that John Young, who preached last week, shared in his sermon that I'd like to repeat today is this. That interestingly, scholars believe that 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John are all part of a package of letters that were sent by the Apostle John to a specific church at the same time. 2 weeks ago, Pastor Dan preached on 1st John, and that was a letter that was sent to the entire church body. And then last week, John Young preached on 2nd John, which was more of a personal letter. It was also sent to the same church, but was intended for specific encouragement and instruction. And finally today, in 3 John, we'll see this very personal note that was written to a specific individual within the same church. So that brings us to our first point. Walking in truth and love brings about joy. As you were listening to the scripture there being read, the Apostle John was writing specifically to a beloved brother in the Lord who, it says, he rejoiced in greatly. He prayed for Gaius and wished him well. Now, John was probably an older man, as he called Gaius one of his children. Here's 3 John verses 3 and 4. For I rejoiced greatly when the brothers came and testified to your truth. As indeed you are walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Now obviously it brought John great joy when he heard other brothers and sisters in Christ testify to Gaius walking in truth and love. So what does walking in truth and love look like? Again, I'd like to go back to last week's sermon by John Young, and he said it well in his sermon. It's this: grasping the truth of the gospel, understanding that our faith in Christ requires us to see the world differently, showing compassion for those who are different than us, extending forgiveness to those who have wronged us. And grasping all of that in love requires sacrifice. Indeed, there is a sacrifice when walking in truth and love. It means loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself. It means exemplifying the one who is truth and love, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Scripture says Jesus is the truth, not a truth, but the truth. Scripture also says that God is love. And in fact, John wrote the following with regard to Jesus as the truth in his gospel, the book of John. Let's take a look at John chapter 14, verse 6. Many of you know this verse. Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." Since the Lord Jesus is the truth, he is the only way to God. Truth and love is the foundation of who God is. The Bible is truth. And Scripture states the following about God's Word being truth. Here's Psalm 119, verse 160. "The sum of your Word is truth, and every one of your righteous rules endures forever." Now think about this, church. You can never go wrong walking in truth and love. You can never go wrong walking in truth and love. It's always the right thing to do. It's the good thing to do. Gaius and Abraham Lincoln knew that. How about you and me? And it may not be easy to accomplish, but it always brings about joy. And that joy is always based in abiding in Christ alone. Joy in Christ results in freedom. Here's John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. "So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, 'If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.'" As a young man, I definitely did not walk in truth and love. I had no freedom in Christ. I did not abide in him. I was walking on a path of destruction. I was dead in my sins. Sins such as an addiction to pornography and habitually lying. Those sins weighed me down. And I remember it like I was yesterday. At age 18, I told my grandmother that I was going to go see a movie that was a Western. And actually, I went to see an X-rated movie. You see, my joy was carnal. It was fleshly. And it was brought about by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. But God changed everything in 1986. Here's what God did for me, and he'll do it for you now. Let's take a look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. "But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together in Christ. By grace you have been saved." And ever since God saved me from sin and death, he has brought about joy in Christ. And even though I still wrestle with lust and pride, the Holy Spirit walks with me each day. He is my counselor and intercessor. I'm a new creation in Christ. a new creation in Christ. Today could be your day where God brings about joy in your life as a new creation in Christ. Have you ever thought about that? If you're not trusting Christ today as you're listening to this message, then my exhortation is to trust in Him. Start walking in truth and love. Come and see what God will do to bring about joy in your life. And that's how the gospel spreads. And that brings us to our second point. Walking in truth and love spreads the gospel, which is the good news. It's the good news that the Lord Jesus Christ came to rescue sinners like you and me from sin and death and make us right with God. After Jesus' death, burial, resurrection, and ascension, the gospel spread to the ends of the earth, just as Jesus said it would. Take a look here at Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Interestingly, as I was preparing for this message, it's interesting to see that God chose several men in the first century named Gaius to be a part of spreading the gospel. There was Gaius of Corinth, Gaius of Macedonia, and Gaius of Derbe, who were all associated with the Apostle Paul. And then there was the Gaius that we're referencing today, who belonged to the church where the Apostle Paul was an elder. And John commended this brother, Gaius, in Christ for his faithfulness in serving the brothers who were preaching the gospel, even though they were strangers. And here's something for us to remember that's very important. These men who were strangers and who were spreading the gospel testified to the church of the love that Gaius showed them. Isn't that special? Take a look here, 3 John verses 5 through 8. Beloved, it is a faithful thing you do in all your efforts for these brothers, strangers as they are, who testified to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God, for they have gone out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support people like these, that we may be fellow workers for the truth. This is a testimony that when people walk in truth and love, the gospel spreads. And in fact, John exhorts Gaius to send these men on their journey in a manner worthy of God. What is a manner worthy of God? Robert Yarborough, New Testament professor at the Covenant Seminary in St. Louis, says it well, quote, "When we unite with servants of the gospel, it elevates our lives. It refines us, delivers us from self-fixation, and focuses our gaze on God's amazing work all around the world. It brings deep fellowship and fruitful collaboration for the sake of the truth," end quote. Do we hear that? Do we believe that? Do we apply that? That walking in truth and love is for the sake of truth, that the gospel would spread to the ends of the earth, that the gospel is to go out for the sake of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is truth and love. And John adds that we ought to support people like these, that we may be fellow workers for the truth. Now consider the missionaries that La Crescent Evangelical Free Church supports currently. There's Prince Paul in Ghana, Africa. Ray and Paula Yoder in France. The Clockengay and Carey's families in Ontario, Canada. Johan in India, Janine Tickey in Colombia, South America. And the folks we met last week, Ben and Brittany Hershey, who plan to minister to Muslims in North Africa. And not to stop there, but serving as short-term missionaries this summer of 2024 are Cody Kowalski, who will be in Germany, Jack Weezer in Alaska, and Andrew Weezer in Italy. All of those people are going out in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're walking in truth and love to spread the gospel. That's what Jesus told us to do, whether it be in our neighborhood or on the other side of the globe. And even so, wherever the gospel spreads, whether at home or abroad, there's going to be a struggle between those opposing the truth and those receiving it. And that opposition versus embracing truth, that evil versus good, occurs in the church, which John addressed in his letter. And that brings us to our third and final point, that walking in truth and love reveals evil and good. Now remember, we said that walking in truth and love is always good and right. It's the biblical thing to do. Truth and love are the essence of God's Word. And in fact, did you know that God's Word is a mirror, a lamp, and a sword? Have you ever thought of God's Word in that regard? Well, let me show you that. God's Word is a mirror, because when we look at ourselves, our true character is revealed by Scripture. Think about that. Gentlemen, this morning, if you looked in the mirror, maybe you saw you needed a shave like I did. And not only that, though, the mirror of God's Word and the mirror we looked in this morning may say, well, you need a haircut, too. See, the Word of God shows us how we are to live day by day, but it also shows us the rough edges in our lives. God's Word is a lamp, because the more we know Scripture and allow it to direct and affect us, we avoid the deception of the world. Now think about this. The presence of cancer in the human body can be deceiving. Much like sin, there can be more there than meets the eye. But the Bible is like a surgical light. The intense brightness of truth exposes all things that are deadly and need to be eradicated. And then how about this thing about God's Word being a sword, a two-edged sword, in fact, because it cuts to the core of who we are and reveals the true intentions of our heart, whether evil or good. And since a sword is a weapon, the sword of the Spirit is a weapon of truth. Evil is defeated, good is victorious. And John addressed a situation in the church that revealed evil and good. He calls out this evil Diotrephes who opposed the truth by not acknowledging the authority of the apostles. And not only that, the arrogance of Diotrephes and his inhospitable character resulted in his refusal to welcome brothers and sisters in Christ. In fact, he wanted to stop those who were welcoming of others and even put them out of the church. Here's 3 John verses 9 and 10. I have written something to the church, but Diotrephes, who likes to put himself first, does not acknowledge our authority. So if I come, I will bring up what he is doing, talking wicked nonsense against us. And not content with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers and also stops those who want to and puts them out of the church. Now note that John emphasized the evil that this Diotrephes was doing. He called it wicked nonsense. And you know, we have to be careful to discern false teaching, those who would be undermining truth. And we have to ask the following question. Listen closely. Is there submission to the authority and teaching of the apostles? Here's what John says about that in his first letter to the church, 1 John chapter 4, verse 6. We, the apostles, are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. At La Crescent Evangelical Free Church, as in any of the churches where God's Word is preeminent in preaching, teaching, and counseling, there has to be a discerning eye for those opposing the authority of church leadership, i.e., the elders. And that's because elders are appointed by God to shepherd His flock. And that involves guarding the sheep, the church, against false teaching. And in fact, here's Jesus' own words of warning about recognizing false teachers who bring discord in the church. Here's Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 and 16. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Indeed, Diotrephes was bearing bad fruit. He had the spirit of error. He wasn't walking in truth and love. Truth and love are who God is, and He is very good. And John emphasized this, and listen to this. He says, don't imitate evil. Imitate what is good. So in this third letter that we're looking at today, he commended a man named Demetrius who was doing good. Here's 3 John verses 11 and 12. Beloved, do not imitate evil, but imitate good. Whoever does good is from God. Whoever does evil has not seen God. Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone and from the truth itself. We also add our testimony, and you know that our testimony is true. Yes, much like Gaius, Demetrius received a good testimony from the church. The fact is that walking in truth and love testifies to itself as being the true and right thing to do. Even John added that the integrity of Demetrius' witness to the truth was confirmed by the elders, whose testimony was also true. Here's a question. Why were Diotrephes and Demetrius so different with regards to their testimony of evil and good, respectively? The Holy Spirit was the difference. He still is and always will be the difference. Scripture states that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. The person who is in Christ has the Spirit of truth indwelling him or her. If we live by the Spirit of truth, Scripture says, let us keep in step with the Spirit of truth. Now, walking in truth and love really is a testimony to who we are. When you're living it, others can't help but see it and rejoice in it. It's like the people who noticed Abraham Lincoln being so truthful and honest. You can't miss that. Demetrius walked in truth and love. Diotrephes did not. When others look at you and me in the mirror of Scripture, what testimony do they see? When the lamp of Scripture shines brightly upon our character, Would it reveal good fruit or bad fruit? When the sword of the Spirit cuts to the very heart of who we are, would the intentions of our heart be revealed as primarily evil or good? So as we close this message, we need to ask ourselves a final question. In a world full of dishonesty and deception, what encouragement and exhortation can we as the church in the 21st century find in this little letter written to a church in the first century? And I believe the answer is right here in the letter itself. And it wraps up where we began with our three points of this message. First of all, it brings great joy for all those who abide in the love of Christ. Secondly, as the gospel spreads through fellow workers in the truth, there is a faithful testimony for the sake of Jesus' name. God says that happens to every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. And thirdly, as good and evil are revealed, we are to keep in step with the Holy Spirit as He leads us to strive not to imitate evil, but imitate good. All of this that God has showed us today is a testimony of the church. All of this is what is good and right. And most importantly, all of this makes much of Jesus' name. Let's pray. Gracious and merciful Father, as we have come here today to hear Your Word, we realize that this walking in truth and love, it's a hard thing because our flesh opposes the very Spirit that is within the believer. Would You strengthen us in Your Word, in the fellowship with other believers? Would Your walking with us be so evident that others notice walking in truth and love? God, would we go out today and live this and own it so that a dying and chaotic world would give praises to Your name? Lord Jesus, we ask all of these things in Your name alone. Amen.